First John chapter number 3. Book of First John chapter number 3. From time to time, somebody will ask me, what book do you recommend for a new Christian to read? I have two answers. Sometimes I will say the book of John, sometimes referred to as St. John, the fourth of the gospel books, which depicts the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. One of the reasons for that is because it has many, many verses that deal with salvation and the assurance that we can have, or maybe I should say the word security there, that we have in Christ. Book of 1 John is another that sometimes mentioned because it's somewhat similar. And one of the things it does throughout its pages is give us assurance of our salvation. And I've tried to depict there is a little bit of difference. Security is knowing from the Word of God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is knowing, hey, I've called, and God says that's what He did. However, we don't always feel it. We live in a kind of a touchy-feely age, and we're sometimes more, I don't know, we're a little bit more sometimes wanting to know how things feel than facts. I remember one time I heard the illustration given that we ought to deal with our lives like the old train. You had the engine, which was the fact of the Word of God. You had the coal car, which was faith. And you take that coal and throw it in the engine while it made the steam, and that little train would go down the track. The caboose, which is no longer in operation, it was called feeling. A train's nice if it has a caboose, or used to be, but it wasn't necessary. But the other two are. And sometimes we get that a little confused. But nonetheless, there is the matter of assurance. And God gives us a number of things in 1 John concerning those assurances that if they are present in our lives, we can have the assurance of His presence. Tonight, 1 John chapter 3. And I want to read the first 10 verses. It's where I'd like to deal with. We may go a little farther tonight. We'll just have to see. But we want to look right here tonight. It says in verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Let's go, Lord, in prayer again. Father, thank You for this, Your wonderful Word. I pray You might work and bless in our hearts tonight. Teach us, Spirit of God, just anoint from above. Give us a listening ear. Oh, God, give us a hearing heart, an open mind. May You be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. It seems to me that the real intent of 1 John is that we may understand that fellowship with God is His intent in salvation. If you go back with me, chapter number 1 and verse number 3, notice what it says there. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I thought for a long time after I got saved that Christianity was all about rules. I thought it had to do with you do this, you don't do that, you do the other thing, and you don't do this. And it took me a long time, but I came to the realization that Christianity is not about rules, it's about relationship. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with our fellowship with Him. And so it's not a matter of I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. It's a matter of fellowship. So often in our fundamental Baptist circles, we've gotten into this rut that it's all about rules. And boy, you got to do this, this, and this. And if you're doing this, this, and this, you must be right with God. And they might be doing this, this, and this, and they are as ugly as can be as far as their spiritual being is concerned. So it's about our fellowship with Him. Now, we find that there is something that comes out of fellowship with God. If you notice verse number 4 of that same chapter, we dealt with it just a few weeks ago, but let's look at it again. He says, these things write we unto you that your what? What? Joy may be full. Okay? I differentiate between happiness and joy. Happiness, I like to define it as that which is a result of circumstances. And quite frankly, there's going to be a lot of circumstances in life that are not going to cause you happiness. I mean, there's going to be days you're sick. There's going to be days things just do not go right. Anybody have a day like that? Yeah, I see some hands. We have days like that, don't we? Sometimes they turn into weeks, don't they? But nonetheless, happiness, I describe it that way. It's based on that. Joy, on the other hand, I believe is an outcrop or that which comes forth, a result of our fellowship with God. Okay? That is something that comes as that is taking place in our lives. Because if you notice there in chapter number 1, verse 3 and 4, that verse 4 starts with and. It's connected very, very dramatically with what has just been said, and that is our fellowship with God, that we might have joy in the Lord. Now, as we look at Scripture, and look especially in 1 John, and in this chapter that we have read tonight, and more that we haven't read, I believe there are three operatives of fellowship that will rob us of joy if they aren't present. Are you listening to me? They will rob us of joy if they're not present. And what I'm about to say to you, I must also say they can only be had as a result of our fellowship with God. But they will rob us if they're not in operation. In other words, one of them is righteous living. One of them is brotherly love, and another is abiding in spirit. Their presence, by the way, in our lives also become assurances of salvation. And we need to understand that when we have those, God is saying, hey, I am your father and you're one of my children. All three are impossible in ourselves. Listen to me, they are impossible even in our new nature. Romans chapter 7, Paul is describing to you and to me that I want to do it, but I can't do it. He's talking about even in a new nature, he can't do it. And the only thing that can take that to that level is when he cries out and said, who shall deliver me? And we find out it's living in the Spirit of God. They're impossible in ourselves. And all three of these, I believe, are discussed here in this chapter. I want us to look at these 10 verses, just divide them very simply tonight. And I'm going to look at verse number 1 and 2 and try to describe to you and to myself what God does. What God does. These are thrilling verses. And then the results of what God does in the remaining verses for this evening. Notice verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you last night went out in the street and said, hey folks, come on into my house, you can spend the night? Nobody did that? Why didn't you do that, Teresa? Why didn't you do that, Jake? What's that? You what? You're not going to let some strange person spend the night in your house. All right, that's a good answer. But God says, what manner of love that He's bestowed upon us. We don't have this kind of love. We don't go out and advertise, you can spend the night at my house. Do we? No. Matter of fact, we bar our doors from anybody who may want to come in and spend the night with us. Okay? We just have that. But notice this verse. Trying to emphasize something. What manner of love? Think about it. The Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. He's saying, hey, come into my family. You are welcome. What kind of love that is? That we should be called the sons of God. John chapter 1 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe. What a tremendous thing. God allows us into His family simply by believing on Him. Notice something else there. There's a colon right after God. Notice, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Now people in the world know who you are, but they don't understand you. That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about here. They don't understand Christians. Matter of fact, we don't always understand ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we are a peculiar people. We're a bunch of oddballs. Seriously. I look at some of you and I think that even more so. No, I'm just joking. But we are oddballs. We're peculiar people. And the world, they don't know Him and they don't understand us either. But notice what it says in verse 2. Beloved, what a tremendous word. Now are we the sons of God. We're part of His family. These are people who believe. If you're a believer tonight, you are a son of God. It's not a matter that you're going to become one. It is a matter you are one. We are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Wow. We do not know the extent of change that is yet coming to us. We like to think about it. We like to imagine it. But God tells us that eye hath not seen nor the ear heard. We cannot even imagine the extent of change that is coming into our lives. But I do want to stop and think about this for a moment. It gives us a little bit of an idea. When you and I, if you're saved tonight, when you got saved, there was a change that happened to you. Matter of fact, you had a change of ownership. Or maybe we should say you had a change of fathers. In John chapter 8 verse 44, we find that we are of our father the devil. But when we get saved, God becomes our heavenly Father. By the way, think about the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Two tremendous words that ought to thrill our soul. But we had a change. We were saved. But think about this also. Right now, whether you know it or not, there is a change that is taking place on a continual basis. If you're a child of God, there is some growth. Sometimes that growth gets stunted. Sometimes we do some stupid things that get us sick, so to speak. But really, there's a growth that is taking place. It's a continuous change. I appreciated so much many years ago. I was downcast. I was really down. Because as I was looking at the church and I was considering the lives of individuals, I was thinking, my goodness, the folks in this church, they're going nowhere. They haven't changed. There's not any growth in their lives. What's wrong? What kind of a preacher am I? What's wrong with me? I'm not getting this. And Brother Al Wells shows up and preaches a week, and he says to me, Gene, you probably don't see it. But I come in here once every year and he says, I have seen tremendous growth in the people here. How many have ever known a child. They was about 6 years old, and you didn't see them for about 5 years. And you ran into them. Now they're 11 years old, and you look, whoa. You have really grown up. Yeah. Sometimes when we're adults, that happens too, but it's not grown up, it's grown up. But we grow. Amen. And there's that is taking place. It's an ongoing process. We're being saved. Okay? It's called, why have I lost it? Sanctification. I lost the term. But there's also that ultimate and final change into His likeness. We'll be saved. Our salvation's in three tenses, past, present, and future. There is that day coming when we will be like Him. Right now, my soul is saved. Right now, my spirit has been enlivened. But right now, I still carry about this flesh with all of its desires. And so there's a battle that takes place. It's day in, it's day out. We are growing in that battle. We are, believe it or not, winning in that battle. Sometimes we lose for a while and we gain back, but nonetheless, there is growth. If you're a child of God, there's growth. And it is there. But there's come the day when God is going to miraculously change everything, including these vile bodies. And it tells us here we're going to be like Him. And we will see Him as He is. Somebody said, what are we going to do in heaven? We're just going to stand around and sing all the time. How boring is that? By the way, noticing during song service in church, there are going to be people bored in heaven because some folks in church are bored when song service is there. Do you know why? Their eyes are not on Jesus. That's why. But in heaven, every eye will be upon Him. He's going to be the center of attraction as we go into His presence. Well, let's notice here, verse number 3 down to verse 10, maybe a little farther. We find some results that come about as a matter that you and I, because of what God has done. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. When you and I are expecting the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I are having fellowship with Him, there is something that begins to take place, and that is a purifying of ourselves. It's a desire that's within. You see, you are of your Father, God. And the child has a desire to be like his Father. It's that way in our earthly families, and it's an ongoing process. And I want you to notice here, there's a word right there that talks about that ongoing process, purifieth. Purifieth himself. We need to understand in these verses now, as we're going to deal with them, they can become controversial because they are misunderstood. What happens is people look at the next several verses and they say, aha, the Word of God tells me that I'm a child of God and I can't sin. I must be in that place of sinless perfection. I've told you about the door I went to one time. I knocked on the door and I was talking to a lady about her salvation. She says, I don't need that. I said, but you're a sinner. She says, I've never done anything wrong in my life. And I said, I'd like to talk to your husband. And she got angry and slammed the door. Can you imagine? That sin took her to hell. But seriously, it was. Some people are that way. They don't believe they've sinned. There are Christians who think because of these verses that be the case. Well, let me take you back to 1 John. Let me remind you in context within this very book and within the Word of God. Notice verse number 8. If we say that we have what? I can't hear you. No sin. We do what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Notice verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. So we find two verses here that express otherwise. Matter of fact, verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the key. You and I, we do sin, but we can have it cleansed. We can take it to Him. Somebody says, my goodness, this thing keeps getting me, and it keeps getting me, and I sin, and I do it. What should I do about it? Every time you do, you take it to the Father and you ask Him to forgive you. You say, well, I have to go 2 or 3 times a day. Well, then do so. There will come a time when you will have victory over it. It does come. But in the meantime, maintain your purity through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We understand that. It is only in Him that we do not sin. Verse 4, he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for the law is sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. We've transgressed and we went beyond it, but He is there to take it away. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. We're talking about the practice of sin. We're talking about desiring it and wanting it and keeping it going in our lives. The child of God does not desire that. He will because he's got the flesh. But he wants to live for God. And so he takes it to the Lord and asks God the forgiving of it. Verse 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. How in the world can we live sinlessly? Abiding in Him. How do we abide in Him? Well, when we do something wrong, we go to Him. And we have His forgiveness. By the way, that is not there for us to say, oh, I'm just going to live in sin so I can do that right away. No, it's the wrong attitude. But we do have the privilege to go to Him. Whosoever, verse 9, is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. When Jesus Christ has full operation in our lives, we are living like Him. And when we don't allow that, we ask Him to forgive us. That fellowship is restored and that life is restored. What a beautiful privilege is ours. Verse number 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. I'm astounded by something as I come to verse number 10. The theme continues, and he's talking about our doing righteous. But now he puts into here, neither he that loveth not his brother. Could the number one sin in our lives be a love of self rather than love of brother? What's the great commandment, brethren? We should love God. And what's like unto it? We should love our brother. Interesting. So often we think of sinning in the context of stealing or murdering or something of that nature. But could it be, in God's sight, more in the realm of caring about those who are our brethren? Caring for them. Notice verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should what? Love one another. He's talking about the beginning, I believe, of the incarnation of Christ. Since the coming of Christ, what did He want us to do? Love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. How many have ever heard J. Vernon McGee on the radio? I always love to listen to him. He's been with the Lord a number of years. I have his set of commentaries. I was reading some in there today, and he said this. He said, envy and jealousy are the biggest sins in our churches today. I thought, wow. By the way, envy is a little bit different than jealousy. But envy and jealousy is the number one problem. That was his opinion. I wonder, is he right? Because God sure puts a lot of emphasis on it in His Word that we love our brethren. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we what? Love the who? Brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a... This gets deep. A murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we have here God showing to you and me that if we're abiding in Him, we ought to be living in righteousness. And it seems like that He ties that directly into that righteous living being a part of our love for one another. J. Vernon McGee is not the authority. The Bible's the authority, but I wonder if he's right. And the old flesh rises up and we get envious and jealous of others rather than loving them. We get envious because they have greater blessings, it seems. We get jealous sometimes because it seems like they have better relationship with somebody else or whatever it might be. You know what we need to do with those things? 1 John 1:9. We need to take it to the Lord. Amen. And recognize it in our own heart and life. We need to learn to love the brethren. You say, well, some of them are contemptible. Well, let's stop and think tonight. How many have ever been in a bad mood? When you're in a bad mood, are you contemptible? When do you need the love of your brother more? When you're in a good mood or in a bad mood? Think about it. When is it easier to love the brother? In the good mood. When do they need it more? In the bad mood. Okay? But you know what we oftentimes do? We ignore the one that's in that. And that's when they need us. That's when they need us. Instead of saying, well, what's wrong with you, Mindy? Why don't you just buck it up? And we can be kind. Amen? You ever been in a bad mood? Really? You do a good job of covering it up. Okay, she knows that. These are very practical things, amen? Very practical. And we ought to be, as God's people, seeking to what? Show love to our brethren. And the time they need it the most is oftentimes when we ignore them. And a lot of times because we say, I don't know what to do. You know, sometimes you don't have to do anything. A nice hug. A warm smile. And I love you. That somebody might know. Amen. We ought to be super duper. Bad mood stupers. So that we can what? Show some love. Amen? Yeah. Be good for us. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. We had a little fun with it, but listen, it's a very real spot. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight that you care for us. Lord, as we sang earlier, so gracious. Father, the verses before us in this chapter, this book is just so loaded with how we need to care and love. Now it really is a picture of true Christianity. Lord, we can also find it connected to the fullness of the Spirit. We see it connected with living righteously. Lord, tonight I just pray that you'll help each of us to examine ourselves and to look as to whether we're showing love, as whether we are showing forth the things of God. And we might seek your forgiveness. We might live in your Spirit. I pray you bless fellowship, O God, tonight. May it be sweet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.